Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
And lift Him high, worship the name of the Lord with me. He's our exalted King, let every saint redeem. Worship the name of the Lord with me. Let every voice proclaim how perfect is His name. Worship the name of the Lord with me. Joy reigns in every heart, we have been set. Worship the name of the Lord with me.
Give Him all honor and give Him all praise. Offer each day at the start.
If you will follow and seek out His ways, you'll find that He is alive in your heart, alive in your heart. He's risen from the tomb, He's here. Worship the name of the Lord with me. Till every soul alive, He died so they'd survive. Worship the name of the Lord with me.
Come to the Master and fall on your knees. Worship His glory and grace. Sing of His honor, His power, His peace. You fill our tomb.
Worship the name of the Lord with me.
Come on and
worship the name of the Lord with me.
Worship the name.
Worship the name.
Worship the name
of the Lord.
Thank you for worshiping with us by clapping your hands. It's a way to praise the Lord. The next song, first, I'm going to introduce. So I'm Julie. You guys all know me from
here.
Most of you know me from here as the pianist of the church. But we've been singing together. This is Karen Orby and Diane Drum. And we've been singing together for, I don't know, close to a dozen years by now. And so we're excited to be here today and be able to do this and to worship with you and praise the Lord. And the next song that we're going to do, if we could pop the words up on the screen, is a song that I wrote for a one-song challenge recently, about 3 months ago now. And so we decided to learn it and do it today, and it's talking about the fruits of the Spirit and how the Holy Spirit like helps us to make it through the tough times in life and everything that happens in our lives.
Keep
Julie wrote that. I thought that was cool.
There's quite a contrast between that song we just sang and the song that we're about to sing, but it's all about how the Holy Spirit works in us in all kinds of circumstances.
Amen.
So what a precious thing that is, especially on this girl and the things that she's been through recently. So that song that she wrote has everything to do with what she's experienced. To the glory of God, by the way.
Be the same. Father, we thank you that you are here. And as we have joined together on this special occasion, we join together to worship you and to honor you with everything that is done and said here today. We thank you, Father, for the reminder of this song that you are here and that we can reach out and that you will hear our prayers and that you will sense our needs. And so we pray as we've gathered today that you would bless our time together. We thank you for this church and for the many years of ministry here. And then we pray today as they've gathered together to organize and to officially launch into this new era of ministry, we pray your special blessings upon them. We pray for Pastor Jim Martin and for the other members of this church, leaders of this church. We pray your blessings upon them. Pray that as we go through the events of today, that you would be honored and glorified, that your name would be lifted up. When we pray these things in Christ's name, amen. I'm Sam McVeigh, and I am here representing North American Ministries, which is the organization that Free Will Baptists have, that we send out church planters across North America. And so it is my privilege to be here today to represent them and to commend you for all that you have allowed God to do through you and for the future that we know and we trust that God is going to do here in this place. I do bring you greetings from our General Director, Dr. David Crow, and from Dr. Brad Ransom, as well as for our church, from our church planters from around North America. Many of them have mentioned that they're praying for you guys today and excited about what God is doing, and so we commend you on this step as you organize, and we pray that God will continue to bless you and continue to bring more and more people here. It was exciting today as I met many of you as you came in and hear a little bit about your relationship to the church here, and also to be able to see Pastor Dana Booth and his wife Betty, and they were here from the very beginning, and then the Martins. And so we're excited about the future, and we rejoice with you today and what God has accomplished here through you. And so I'm just excited to be here, and may the Lord bless you as we continue to worship him.
So as the group Heart Sound, we sometimes add people. So we have the core trio that sings, but we also sometimes have other ladies sing with us, or we have Samuel, sometimes my parents, you know, just various people. So today we're having Samuel join us as we continue to worship the Lord. And just this next song is just kind of a fun one. There's shortages on a lot of things in this world, especially lately, and we can be thankful that there's no shortage on God's mercy or his love.
1, 2, 3.
There's no shortage on God's mercy, no shortage on God's love. There's a shortage on corn, a shortage on wheat. Got a shortage on beans, a shortage on meat. The things that we need and we just can't hardly buy. Why there's even a shortage on the air in the sky. But I know there's one thing, there's no shortage on. There's no shortage on God's mercy, no shortage on God's love. Da 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 da. There's a shortage on fuel and a shortage on gas. Got a shortage on wood and a shortage on glass. The things that we've wasted are now precious to buy. You think there's even a shortage on the air in the sky? But I know a great thing, there's no shortage on. There's no shortage on God's mercy, no shortage on God's love. God is love and mercy unending. His precious love will leave you no doubt. When from Satan you need defending, God has supplies that will never run out. Da 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 da. There's a shortage on friendship, a shortage on smiles. There's a shortage on neighbors, though there's millions for miles.
Thank heaven there's nothing, there's no shortage on.
There's no shortage on God's mercy, no shortage on God's love. There's no shortage on God's mercy, no shortage on God's love. Da da da. Da 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 da.
Now we'd like to have you all join us on this next song. We're doing kind of a combination of how deep the Father's love for us with the love of God. I forgot to look up the page number if you wanted to look in your hymnal, but the words should be on the screen over there.
Sky to sky. Oh,
We just want to do one more song before the message to just praise the Lord for his blessings and to ask him to speak to us.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Thy love. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Seal it for thy courts above. Seal it for thy courts above.
Appreciate that good singing. Amen. And I'm glad you're here. Bear with me for a moment. I got to buzz through something here, something I forgot to do myself. Our former pastor, Brother Dana Booth, who is a good friend, I hope. I'm going to tell you a little bit of our story. And in the sermon, so a lot of you don't, you know me, but you don't know me, and you don't know why this church started, and you don't know how in the world I got here from Alabama, and how a guy from Ohio met up with me from Alabama. In football, they're enemies, but he's not a football fan, so we got along fine. But now he's on Salvation's trail because he's living in Alabama. So before the message, I'm going to ask him if he would to come up, and he's just going to say a few words and kind of challenge us as a church. When he left, I would say this more, and he's not going to take offense because he knows what I'm going to say. There was a big hole when Miss Betty left. When She did a lot, but Brother Dana, when he left, he passed the baton, and I took that very seriously. It's something that when I came here, all I wanted to do was be the second chief or whatever, not even a chief. I told him all I wanted to do is help you, and that was all my intent. And when he left, it's not his church. I'm going to explain the sign. We are called Landmark Free Will Baptist Church. And several months ago, I was reading the scripture, and I started reading out of John chapter 15, and God spoke to my heart, Holy Spirit. And I came up with this, that churches have got it wrong because we highlight ourselves, we choose our name for ourselves, We think there's something great in the name of the church, be it a denomination or what the name is, but the church is Christ. And so I did probably a 14-week, Ken can tell me, he's got the numbers back there, 16-week series on the vine. And he is the vine, the true vine, and we're just ministers of him. This is his church, not our church, to do with it what we want to. And that's where I think the church has been disconnected from the world and from the kingdom, is we're doing what we want to do, and we think it's our church, we think it's our pew, we think it's our piano, but it's not. Everything in this church is God's. And it's dedicated to God, and we should treat it like it's God's. And we do that, and I think God would bless us. So I'm going to ask Brother Dane to come before I give you all my show my time, and come on up and say, do you want me to bring a mic to you? Would it be easier? Or?
This is a special day, and I'm so very thankful. I remember being in Brother Powell's office, and we were going to come to New York. And he said, I think we need to pray that the Lord would send someone with you. I thought maybe he might have thought I was too stupid to do it. I don't know. But we prayed, and it wasn't long after that I was in Alabama. Brother Jim and I met up, and God dealt with his heart, as he had dealt with mine. And we're here. And let me say this. You know, it's hard for me to say something without wanting to say more. I believe in the church, don't you? Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't believe in the church, you got a real problem. The church is what Jesus bled and died for. He gave his own blood to purchase it. The church is his body. The church is his temple. The church is made up of all kind of different people all around the world. But as Jim said, it's his church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you find that I may have planted, Jim watered, but he that planteth is nothing. He that watereth is nothing, because it's God that gives the increase. There would be no church without him. He told Peter, when he asked Peter, who do men say that I am? And everybody has an opinion of who Jesus is, right? But he said, who do you say I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said something to him that stuck with me. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, we're people that just doesn't have an opinion about Christ. Everybody has that. The church is people that have a confession of who Jesus Christ is. They know it. God's changed them. And when he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, meaning that confession that Peter had, I believe, I will build my church. And I believe he's done it here. I believe he'll continue to do it. Mm-hmm. Some of you I've known for a long time. Some of you I've not known at all. I see Sister Dottie here, and it thrilled my heart to see her. She's 97 years young, I believe, and God's blessed her. And it's just a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate Jim inviting us. My wife and I, we just resigned the church in Alabama. When I left here, I ended up there. It's a long story, so I'll not give it to you, but ended up in Alabama, and God's blessed us to live there. Now a young man God's put his hand on is there in my place, and it's been a joy to have freedom to go. And it's more than a joy for Betty and I to be here. It's a blessing beyond whatever you could imagine. Because you see, I believe that God has allowed us to be part of his work in building a church. I'll leave, we'll go next week to a church that I started 50 years ago. Can you believe that? I don't even look 50, do I? But it'll be such a joy to go. What a privilege it is. Listen, if you're here and you're young, give yourself to God's work. And that means to his church. That's how he does his work. I'm telling you, I've saw a lot of folks just drifting around. God doesn't work with drifters. He works with people that are planted in his body. And then he takes them, puts them where he wants them to be, helps them to do what they were supposed to do. Thank God for his church. And if you're not part of one, I suggest that this be a good place to start. Bless you. Thank you, Jim.
Appreciate those good words, kind words. And if you have your Bibles, if you don't have your Bible, that's fine too. Well, it's not fine, but I got the verses up on the screen for you. Psalms 63. I'm going to read that as a text to begin with. David wrote this while he was in the wilderness running. He was not the king yet, and they were after him. And so it was in the midst of this desert, and I can imagine. And after we read this, you'll see what I'm talking about. That while he was out in that desert, he looked up into the starry sky and he thought how wonderful God's love was to him, even though he was on the run in the wilderness. So the Bible says this, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. And then in verse number 3, he goes on to say, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I praise thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and remember, he doesn't have a bed, he's out in the desert. Meditate on thee night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings, I will rejoice, or will I rejoice. And verse 8 goes on, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go to the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. I don't know if you've heard the statement before, and I'm sure you have, that God did it again, or God do it again, or you pray and ask God to do something. I'm not a real fan of that statement, although I know what people are saying it for, because it almost sounds like that God is asleep and we have to wake him up to get him to do something again. And sometimes we think that we've got to beat the drum or sing and shout and stomp and get God's attention for him to do something. And the reason I don't like that statement is because God has already done everything that he needs to do. And he is doing stuff today. He is here, as the song went. When Jesus hung on the cross and he died for you. And he said, it is finished. The complete plan of salvation for you was complete. It wasn't just for a church or a certain group of people, but when Jesus died and he said, it is finished, it was done for you, complete. And God is with you. He promised you that. He promised us that. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with us all the way to the end. And I can imagine that when David wrote this, that's what he was by himself. No family, no friends. He didn't have a Walmart to go shopping. He had scorpions and spiders and snakes and rats and rodents and bugs and everything else to eat. But somehow God provided something to him. And that's the reason he said he recognized the power of God taking care of over him. And I can't imagine what it is like to be walking in a desert in hot sun, and then at night it cools and your body's freezing because it got so hot during the day. But David recognized that God was shadowing him under his wings. And so I'm going to give you a little journey into how all this happened. So in 1977, Ken was probably 100 years old then. No, I'm just kidding. In 1977, I graduated from high school. I went to a Christian college, a school. It was called West Birmingham Christian School, and it was a Church of Christ school. In that school, there was supposedly Christians, but there wasn't. There was, in the senior class, five preachers. There was me, a Free Will Baptist. There was a Southern Baptist guy, there was a Methodist guy, and there were two Church of Christ preachers, five of us. And we sat on one side of the room, and there were two rows empty, and the rest of the class sat on the other side. They didn't want to be around the preachers, even though it was a Christian school. And we would have great discussions. Can you imagine a Southern Baptist, a Methodist, and a Church of Christ, and a Free Will Baptist? And so I gave my vision to one of my good friends, a senior, who was one of those Church of Christ preachers. And he says, you know what? He said, the Church of Christ could really use you. And I want you to meet somebody. I want you to go, we'll go to their church. And I knew the guy. He was actually a former coach. And we went to his church and sat down, and they tried to convert me to being a Church of Christ. Not because I'm smart or intelligent or all that, but my vision was in 1977 to come to New York and do a particular thing. And I was inspired by a book written, The Cross Blade, Switchblade, or whatever that, yeah, cry, yeah. So I can't even know, and you think, well, that thing didn't influence you, but it did. And so I graduated from high school and went to college. In college, one subject I hated in high school was English. And it was probably because of the teacher I had. So when I got to college, I had another teacher, and I just didn't like her because she was a teacher of English. But she knew her problem was the class was filled with preachers. And not English majors, or not people that's going on teaching school, and I could care less about English, and I, you know, you can even tell it now. But she gave us one of the greatest projects of any teacher that I've ever heard of before. She made all of us preachers come up with, she said, decide what church you want to be at. Name the church, name the town. And she said, I want you to do a welcome letter. I want you to do a visitor's card. I want you to do a baptismal card. I want you to do a church budget and title and everything. Everything having to do with church, we had to do it. And you name the church. And my church was the First Free Will Baptist Church of New York. So in 1979, I graduated from college, 80, something like that. And we moved to North Carolina. But while I was in college, there was a group called Missionary Prayer Band that we would go to right after lunch. and it was just a bunch of students that got together, and they highlighted a missionary, and we prayed for them. And we had a gentleman come in from the Home Missions Department. It wasn't called North American Ministries then. And he threw up a map, and on that map it showed, he highlighted, actually, New York, where no Free Will Baptist Church is there. So that intrigued my inspiration even more. Upon graduation, I went to North Carolina and taught school for, you couldn't believe it, but I did. I helped my daughter actually through English a little bit because she was a little slack in it. But while I was there in 1982, I got the desire to go to New York. And I talked to the mission board what I need to do. And they told me, well, first of all, you need to scope out where you want to go and, you know, do some study on it. Well, I wrote probably 25 cities and their location of trying to get information for churches in the area. Some of those cities are highlighted on that map out there. And they told me that there was a small nucleus of Free Will Baptists in Binghamton, New York at the time. So I did all that studying, and I was planning on really coming to New York. I had two kids at the time, Stephen, one of them. A daughter was a little bit younger, just born not too long after that. And I told my wife, I said, if we came to New York and nobody was up here and there's no churches, we would fail. I felt like it because we were too young, we were inexperienced, and I didn't want to put our family through that. So I commenced praying for God to do something, to make a way. And it was to my surprise when Brother Dana said that he was coming to New York in 2006. He had already made the commitment in 2005. And when he came to my church, it was what is called Missionary Week, Missions Week in Alabama. And I told my church at the time I was pastoring that I want him to come to my church. I didn't care about the rest of them. So he came, and he came early, and he sat down on the front pew, right side of the, and I looked at him and I said, I need to ask you a few questions. I asked him three or four questions, and he gave me the answer that I was thinking in 1977. So yeah, the Holy Spirit, the Lord prompted something within me. There's something going on here. So after the message, he went on his way through Alabama, but before he left, I told him, I said, you know, I know you need help. And I'm going to pray, and if God gives me a job, and I said, I know you need somebody quick, because he was coming. I could see that determination, confidence in him, and I said, if God gives me a job, moves, opens doors, I'll come to New York. He called Miss Betty, and she said, no way. She was like Sarah. No. He wouldn't do that. She was a doubter. And mind you, my house in Alabama was almost paid for. I had just remodeled it and built a room downstairs for my daughter, who was going to school as a first year in school. But it was going to be a room for my mom and dad because they were getting elderly and their house was two-story. It was actually 2.5 story. Their steps were straight up, and I think there's 15 steps, if you can imagine, from bottom floor up. And I knew that they would not be able to stay there. And so in June of 2006, mind you, I just met him in February, 2006. And June was the National Association of Free Will Baptists in Birmingham, Alabama. And Miss Betty came and she stayed with us in our home. She still said, no way, they're not leaving all this. No way, they're not coming. And in August of 2006, I sought out a job here in New York. Didn't get any replies. I flew to New York, stayed with Miss Betty and them, and I went out and looking for jobs. And I left, went back home. Then I got a call for an interview. Brother Danny and Miss Betty was going off somewhere, I don't know, raising money or something. And I flew back in. They allowed me to stay in their house. Now, I never met him, didn't know him. He didn't know me, and he gave me a key to his house, and he said, just stay at the house. The day that I flew in, good old airlines, they lost my luggage, and my luggage went to Detroit, and I came here. And the day of the interview, I didn't have clothes to go for the interview, just plain clothes. And I even apologized for it. And so I did some scope work myself, went out besides that interview looking for a job. Because, you know, hey, God was here. And I said, if God brought me here, he's going to open up a door. And I did have a guy that he said, I'd like to have you here and blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't long that I got a call and said, we'd like to offer you the job. So we flew back up here, finalized the job, and we were here on this day as we started the first service in a Holiday Inn at Victor. It's right off the interstate thruway up there. You may know where it's at. And it was September the 17th. 2006 was the first service. My family is there, and here's the crowd that is there, and we have one person who is here, one person in this picture. Well, there's a few pictures in there that maybe have passed away, but Miss Diane back there, her husband was there. He's the guy in the brown jacket to your left. He passed away a few years ago. Since then, there's been a lot of things happen. And we have done a lot here at this church, and God has done a lot for us. It's amazing how God brought two families together, matched them up to come to a place that's called New York. It's amazing also how God did various things. One, my wife was working for a company that her boss passed away, and they were real close, you know, not her boss and her, but the whole family. I knew them well, and we had fellowships together. He was a member of the Briarwood Presbyterian Church. If you follow religious news, Dr. Reeder, just a pastor of that church, has passed away, and this guy was kind of his sounding board. He died of a heart attack in an airport. So his wife generously gave us a gift to help us get to New York. My father, his father, mother passed away, and so it was given to him a farm the farm as 99 acres, and he came to me and all the children. He said, you know, what should I do with this farm? I don't want to keep it. It was in the country, and we had no eyes on it, and there was a lot of hunters that were going on the property and hunting, and he said, I don't want anybody to get killed and it, you know, be against him. So he asked us if we wanted it or to sell it, and all three of us said, we'll sell it. And a portion of that sale, he went ahead and gave it to the kids, and part of that money is in this church. And there's a lot of things that there's no way that we could do as a church if it wasn't for people who actually did things for us. That is our second building that we went to. That's in Farmington on 332. I loaded up, I've got a snowblower. I still got it. I received it in 2007. We were at this building in 2007 and started in January. You know what January is like in New York? And so there was a guy that was coming to our church, and his picture's out front. That picture, the biggest picture out front is the picture of inside that building having a service. And this gentleman was partially blind, and he came to me, and he said, I don't need this snowblower. I got somebody doing mine. He said, I want to give it to you. He said, now, it doesn't work. He said, but I figured you're a guy that could fix it. I said, well, I've never worked on a snowblower, but I'm sure it's like a lawnmower and other things. And so I got it, and it cost me $3.23. And it still works, by the way, out there. And when I got it, it was old. But I'd loaded up on my Ford Ranger with two by sixes and wheeled it up and wheeled it off, and I snowblowed that parking lot. I was out there before service, one service, and I was, 5 o'clock in the morning snowblowing, and this guy comes in because it's in a strip. I wouldn't call it a strip mall, but there's a road, and there's three other businesses on that road. There was a Mexican restaurant and another business, and he did the rest of the place. And he was getting ready to leave, and he stopped, and he comes walking across the parking lot, and he said, hey, he said, that sure is a big parking lot to be snowblowing. I said, yeah, it's pretty big. And he said, well, he said, I can get it done in just a few minutes. He said, this is what I'll do. He said, I'll charge you $25. And I said, oh, okay. And go ahead. He said, matter of fact, he said, you don't have to do this anymore. He said, I'll just show up and do it. And the whole time we were at that church, that's what he did. He just showed up and did it. When we came to this church, Brother Dana couldn't believe it. This guy, first day it snowed, a guy comes up and he just starts plowing the parking lot here, and he was wondering who in the world he was. He didn't know him. And so the whole time we've been here, he has plowed this parking lot. He's just showed up, and he never asked a dime. And until 2 years ago, when he came to me and he said, I know what you're about to tell me, because I knew it was getting too much for him. He's up in age, and he said, I'm going to have to give this up. And he said, but I recommend you somebody. And I said, okay, that's fine. But it's amazing how God has put people in our lives and built this church and done the things that he's done in our lives. This is the first group that ever came up here to New York to help us, a youth group from the church that I was at, Forestdale. My mom and dad is up there on the right, left, your left, my right, your left, my right, something like that. this guy that's kneeling down here, he actually helped do some sheetrock mudding here. It was the first check that we received from an outside church coming here and doing some help and work. To help us, we were going to buy a piece of property, and it never did materialize. because of whatever reason, but that young man, he passed away, and a good friend of mine. So here's our first bus kids that we had at that same place, first Patch the Pirate group that we had. We had our first, there was a lot of firsts that first year, and we had the first Vacation Bible School. This young man over here, he was our first convert. Cody is his name. And this is our building here. We were came over here. This is our third location. This is what it looked like on the inside. And we have some people here visiting today from BSB that the whole time that we've been here, along with the snowplow person, has helped this church out tremendously. And we had a group come from Cave City, Arkansas, Stevens Church, and they put the roof on the church, and we had air nailers and scissor lifts and Kubota tractor and everything from BSB out here, and helped us out a tremendous. This church wouldn't be here if it wasn't for people. But more importantly, it wouldn't be here unless God moved upon people to do things. Brother Booth's family, his entire family, has helped this church. His brother Curtis, I believe he's the one that donated the first bus to our church. He actually did a couple of them to our church. Arlen, his other brother who pastors a church, he gave us some money. Joe and Missy being their daughter and Joe being the son-in-law, he's given us money. Frank, who is his son-in-law, did a lot of the work here. He came up here, I don't know what, 3 months or 3 weeks or something, like back and forth. A lot of his work is still here, and thankful for a lot of work that they did. There's a tremendous amount of people that did work that God moved on them to do some things for this church, and there's a reason why this church is here. We're a small church. We went through COVID just like a lot of other churches. There are some big churches that didn't make it, but this church survived by God's hand and protection. Times we didn't have services, we only had online services, but God paid the bills and we still are doing well. So I'm gonna conclude with this, a couple of things. I believe there's a couple of things real in life. And one of those things is that God puts you here for a reason, or all of us, and he has a purpose in you to fulfill your life. God is in pursuit of you. From the day you were born until the day you die, God will never take his hand off you, pursuing you to reveal who he is. You can ignore that. You can avoid it and run from it like many people have. Or you can believe it to be true that God truly loves you and is pursuing you. And he wants something for you in your life. He is not God to make your life miserable. He is God to make your life happy and successful. And he sees something when you're having a hard time and you think God's against you. He's not against you. He's for you. He's trying to wake you up. He's trying to get you to turn around and see something. He's trying to get you to follow him. God has a purpose for you. And you have a free will. That's why we're free will. That we believe that you have a free will to choose to either follow him or not follow him, to accept him or not accept him. I was in the living room of my mom and dad's house in 1977, before I graduated. I had already received a letter of intent for a scholarship to the University of Tulane. And I received a phone call, I never forget it, on a Thursday night from another college, and the coach offered me a full scholarship over the phone. I had already committed myself to preaching the gospel. And while I would have loved to have that scholarship, I said, I'm sorry. And I didn't have to waver at all. My mom and dad were sitting in the couch, and I was in the kitchen, and they were looking at me, and they knew what the call was because I told them. And I said, sir, I'm so very grateful of what you just offered me, but I'm sorry that I'm going to have to decline. And he asked, why? And I said, because I've committed to preach the gospel, and I can't do it. When you make that decision and choice in your life to follow God, God does some great things. And one of those great things was when I went to college and I met my wife. Behind every man, there's a great woman. And she's been the greatest thing, and I've drug her all over the country and so thankful for her. And without her, and without Miss Betty, this church, I wouldn't be in existence. They were both willing to sacrifice to come here. And God, see, God didn't just call me and Brother Booth. He had to put it on their hearts to come here. Miss Betty didn't want to leave and come to New York. And who would have thought that a guy from Alabama would have jumped up, shouted and screamed, yeah, New York. I'm a Braves fan, crying out loud. I used to go to the Braves games all the time, and I come over to New York. But besides that, I think God has a purpose for you. The second thing is, I think events and people are put in your life for a reason, to help you along your journey. This is also testimony that God's pursuing you. He didn't just put you here for no reason, and there's certain people that come into people's lives for a very good reason. And we've got to have certain people in our lives to help us. And this church has had many people to come through those doors to help out for whatever, you know. And I have no idea why somebody just, the first day we opened up, they just started plowing the parking lot free. So my hat's off to everybody that's ever helped this church, and thank you, because this church is enriched, because even those that have just started coming, your life has enriched this church, and it's going to continue to blossom because of you and what you're doing and your efforts. And along the life's journey, there's a couple other things I'll mention to you. One is that you're going to be tested. And the test is to test your faith and your commitment of how real and genuine it is. It's also a testament that God's pursuing you. He's rounding off the edges. He's molding you, making you into something. And so those tests come up, not for you to quit and throw in the towel and go your own way. He's wanting to season you like salt, so that you can be a flavor to the world. He wants your stories to be able to help someone else. There are some people that's gone through things that I haven't gone through. They can help other people because they've gone through those things. And again, I can help people because of what I've gone through. The second thing is, when you take this journey in life and you make that commitment and you say, I'm going to follow Christ and I'm going to give Him everything I've got, be aware that there is an enemy out there. He doesn't want you to do that. There are distractions, there are people, there are events that's going to take place in your life that is going to change you. And you're going to wonder what in the world's happening. And you want to give up, throw in the towel, quit. And I'm thankful this church didn't quit. I'm thankful that many of you did not quit during COVID and you decided, I want a church. I want to go to that church. And God blesses people who actually make those kind of commitments, that that is what you want to do, especially if you commit to it, that that's what God led you to do. And I've always said, and I've always trusted many of the services here, and hence to these three ladies here. Julie, she likes to, I'm going to use this word, don't take offense, but she likes to manipulate the situation. Okay? So she came to me, that's not a bad term, she came to me several weeks ago and she said, well, what's your sermon? What's your theme? She wanted to know all that so she could put songs together. And I said, just do what God puts on your heart to do. And I told her a few things. I didn't pick out those songs. She picked them out. She did tell me one. I said, I like that one to do, which we're going to do, actually, in just a few moments. But God has his hand in that, and I believe God. I believe God's hand is true, and he can move your life and situate it in the place that he wants you if you'll just commit your ways to him. It may not be what you like. It may not be fancy. It may not be a lot of money. It may not be, what you dreamed about in your life. But if you'll just turn your life over to him and say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to do whatever you want me to do. He'll put you in the place that he wants you to be, that you can be a blessing and a help to other people. Amen. And Miss Dottie can be a testimony of that. In her life, that she always just committed her life to God. And her husband, Bruce, he was a great prayer person, warrior. Anytime you wanted to get a hold of God, you go to Bruce. And he had this unique way of speaking to God and praying. But your faith is under attack and will be under attack. And it's not to blame God. He's trying to help you, season you. Because there is a bigger battle that all of us are going to have to face. And if we do not have the whole armor of God, we will fail. Amen. And God knows what that battle is going to be. It's a battle that nobody ever has ever dreamed of, thought of, imagined in their life. And you're going to have to be ready for it. And that's why the church is here, to help equip you to become that kind of seasoned soldier to fight off the troubles. There's a verse out there on the in the foyer that is familiar to a lot of people here. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, and saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search me with all your heart. God will let you know what he wants you to do if you truly go after it with all your heart and give him all of yourself. Surrender all. And then he tells us, once we'll do that, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. In God's perspective, and I'm not God, but I can read through scriptures, but in God's perspective, you are more than just you to God. You might see yourself just as flesh and bone and blood, and you live and die. You got a beginning date and an ending date. You may see yourself as a wife or husband or whatever it may be in your life, but God sees you more than just what you see of yourself. And the hardest thing that you will ever do in your life is to realize that you are not your own. For you were bought with a price, and that price is the blood of Christ. It's not the church, necessarily the building, the physical building. It's not the name on the church. The reason you come to church, the reason you join a church, is you're actually identifying yourself with Jesus and the body of Christ. Elizabeth Elliot said this, "You are loved with an everlasting love, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And I want you to know, you don't have to dress up. You don't have to be someone. You just have to be yourself and say, "God, I want to give my life over to you." You don't have to clean out your closet and go straighten up this and straighten up that. Just give your life to Christ and let Him do the work in you. He has all the power in the world, all the love and mercy and grace that you need in your life. It's finished. It was complete. Now the choices are simple. You either believe in God that He's going to change your ways, or you can try to change on your own. And it doesn't work out on your own. You need somebody to help you, guide you. And this church needs the Holy Spirit, needs good people, but this church needs Jesus Christ as the head. And that's what we are identifying ourselves as of today, a church with Jesus Christ at the head. Amen. And if you want to be a part of that church, you're welcome to join. And you got a card earlier, I hope. If you didn't get a card, I can get you a card. But it's a card for you to join the church. And just sign the card, and we'll note it as you being. There's also a church covenant along with that card. You can read it. We're going to adopt that as our church covenant. And you're going to become what is called a charter member. And from this point forward, we're going to start having business meetings. We're going to have a budget. We're going to have a, you know, so on and so forth. We'll be an official church of business. But the most important thing is this business right here at this church. That we're founded and grounded and equipped through the gospel. Yes. Not just a meeting, not a get-together. This is a church. And this is our faith and practice, the Bible. Amen. We're going to have an invitational song. He's here. He's not at a distance. He can be touched by you. And if you're not a Christian, I invite you to come and become a Christian today as the ladies sing this song.
You know, I have to say something. First of all, Pastor, your heart for the Lord, just listening to it is so beautiful. Thank you. And his words, what he had to say, how God has led him. God is leading this church, and it's so exciting to what is happening today. You know, it's so easy to go to church every Sunday. You see the same people. You say hello, and then you leave, and you go about your things during the week, and then you come back the next Sunday, or maybe you come to Sunday service or whatever, and in the evening as well. But there is a vision that God desires for us all to have. You know, it says, without a vision, the people perish. You need to have a vision and be excited about what God is going to do. He can do some amazing things here. And it doesn't matter the numbers that are coming here. It matters about the lives that are being touched and changed. And also the obedience to God and just trusting Him. Trust Him and how He could use you here in this church. And trust Him and how He can use you in the life that He has for you. And you know, a church is your foundation for your life. Oh no, I'm sorry. Christ is your foundation for your life. But the church is your prayer warrior. And they're here to help you. And you're all here to help each other as well. And you know, there was a poem this week. I believe God's calling me to do something, to go somewhere. It's work-related. That's going to another state. And it's been a very hard decision for me. Because I have so much here. I have family and everything else. But somebody had written this, and I thought it was so beautiful. Saying yes to God does not require us to have all the details of what we're walking into. Saying yes to God does require taking a small step of faith exactly where he has placed us. Saying yes to God does not require us to feel brave. Saying yes to God does require us to lean on him for the courage and strength we need. And that means even right now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't have a personal relationship with him, say yes to that. Don't worry about the unknown, because he will be with you every day, every step of the way. All right, we're going to sing O Church Arise, and our desire is that you sing this song with us. Think about the words that you're singing, and let's rise up and take the challenge that God has before us with this church.
O Church Arise, and put your armor on, hear the call of Christ our Captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies. An army bold, whose battle and with the sword that makes the wounded whole, we will fight with faith and valor. When faced with trials on every side, we know the outcome is secure, and Christ will have the prize for which he died, an inheritance of nations. Crushed beneath his feet, for the conqueror has risen. And as the stone is rolled away, and Christ emerges from the grave, this victory march continues till the day, every eye and heart shall see Spirit, come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. As saints of old fill line the way, retelling triumphs of his grace, we hear Christ, we stand in glory. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise, shine, for the risen sun. Lift your eyes, we are his radiant bride.
for just a moment. I want to read you something. The Free Will Baptist Covenant has many flavors and versions of it, and many churches have adopted different styles of it. This particular version I'm going to show you is a version that was published and written by a man by the name of Benjamin Randall. He was the first founder of the New Durham Free Will Baptist Church in New Hampshire, and this covenant was written in 1780. As back there in the days of Ken, a little bit. But here's the church covenant as he wrote it. And there are many people, actually, who wrote letters, and this is what they declared themselves. This came actually from people. So we do now declare that we have been given ourselves to God to do now and agree to give ourselves to each other in the love of fellowship. We do also take the scriptures for truth as for our rule of faith and practice, respecting our duty towards God, our neighbors, and ourselves. We promise to practice all the commands of the New Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, as far as they are now or shall be made known to us by the light of the Holy Spirit of truth, without which we are sensible. We cannot attain to true knowledge thereof. We also promise to bear each other's burdens, so fulfill the law of love, which is the law of Christ. We do further agree to give liberty for the improvement of the gifts of the brethren and to keep the worship of God, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And then the last paragraph is, we do likewise further agree not to receive any person into fellowship except that they have a satisfactory evidence of a changed life and heart, and also promise to submit to the order of the gospel as above. Amen. So I would like to offer a motion that everyone who has signed the card and want to become a member of the Landmark Free Will Baptist Church do so. So can I have a resolution to that, Finn? All in favor of receiving everyone who would like to become a member of the Landmark Free Will Baptist Church, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. And there we go. Nobody
I
said
no. I
wanted
to say no.
And now you are an official charter member of the Landmark Free Will Baptist Church, and I thank you so much for you coming today and being a part of this service. And even if you're not a member of the church, you're always welcome. Those doors are always open, and you can come here anytime, and there's no obligation for you. And by the way, you sign in that card, I'm not going to come, and as some churches do, unfortunately, they sent out an amount you're supposed to give back to the church, and we're not going to do that. We don't do that. The offering plates are back there. You give what you feel like the Lord lays on your heart to give, and that's the offering, right? Whatever the tithe is that you believe between you and God. And if this is a place for God to bring you, I expect you to be here. And expect, my wife calls me the slave driver, trying to get all this work done. So if you go through the church, there's a lot of work that's been done, and I'm going to, before we go, highlight a lot of things that happened, but my son and all of his sons did a great job. Clint came over and did a great job. Parker, Jaden came over and did a lot of work. He learned electrician work. He did, And a lot of these people did a lot of work to get this church ready, and a lot of people fixed food today, and I'm thankful for that. We wouldn't have this day if it wasn't possible. So in closing, I want to thank the quartet or trio. It was a quartet for one song, trio. The one thing I thought Samuel should have had a jug blowing into it, and somebody else could have had the spoons going while we go.
I think we should clap for our trio.
Absolutely. Give them a round of applause. And thanks, Sam, for coming. He's got a he's flying out of here this afternoon, so pray for them and Brother Dane and them leaving. So I'm going to ask Brother Dane, if he would, to ask the blessing on the food and a blessing on this church.
Father, what a thrill it is to be in your house. What a blessing it is, Lord, to see the organization of the church here. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless it. And I pray, Lord, that you would control it, that you would direct it. Lord, that you would plant people in it. As the Spirit of God places them in the body of Christ so they can carry out the work of the Lord. Thank you for the faithfulness of Brother Jim, Sister Sylvia, and others that are here. Thank you for their faithfulness. Help us as we travel. We pray, Lord, you bless this food. Thank you for the work that's been provided in preparing food and getting things ready for people bringing food. Thank you for just being our God that knows that we love you. And we praise you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Give you a little bit of instructions. We're going to go out, take a left, go down the hallway.